want to thank Brother Miller for those songs. I especially like his selection, considering what I want to talk about. I want to, you know, this world's not my home. I want to talk about home this morning. And he also led Home of the Soul, which happened to have been my mother's favorite song. So it always brings up memories of my mother, which are fond memories. And it is pertinent to what I want to say this morning. And I do want to be sure and welcome all of you for your for being here. You know, it's like we're here for a purpose, all of us. And as Stanley often says, there are no accidents. It's not an accident that you're here. You're here for a reason. And I hope that I can deliver. You know, it's I think every spiritually minded gospel preacher that ever lived struggles with the same thing when he tries to decide what to say. We need to point out when things need improvement, when things are not the way that they should be, when we're not living the way God would have us to live. But at the same time, we don't want to be discouraging. Right. We want to be encouraging. Right. And I'm making a special effort this morning to be encouraging. And so if you look, I wrote on the board, I took the liberty to write, God's love will take us home.
Amen.
I want to talk about going home. And, you know, it's been my experience, and probably yours too, that we sometimes go places. We plan day trips or vacations and that. And as you're out on your vacation and having a good time, at some point before you get back home, you want to be home,
Amen.
Don't you? Sometimes it might be on the trip back. But on the trip back, at some point you're thinking, I'll be glad when I get home.
Amen.
And my wife, I'll tell on her a little bit, because she, I catch her oftentimes during the week, and I'm sure it's when things aren't going exactly the way that you want them to go. Now, keep in mind, we're at home, and she says, I want to go home, right? Well, you know what? I know what she means.
Yes.
You know what she means too, don't you?
Yes.
We're not home. We're just saying, this world is not my home, and when things are not right, or at least not right in our own minds or the way we want them to be, we long to be there where it's all going to be okay. A teacher asked the children in his Bible class, if I sold my house and my car and had a great big garage sale and gave all of the money to the church, would I get into heaven? And no, the children all answered together, no. Well, if I cleaned the church building every day and cleaned the parking lot and got rid of all the weeds and kept everything tidy and neat, would I get into heaven? And again, the children said, no, that won't do it. And then he continued, then he says, well, then how can I get to heaven? And in the back of the room, little five-year-old boy says, you got to be dead. But you know what? That tells us something, doesn't it? We all talk about getting into heaven, but we're not going to get into heaven until we're gone, until we're dead, until this body is dead. All of us. We don't want to die, do we?
No.
But we want to go home. You understand? And I think sometimes we need to adjust our thinking. I don't think it's healthy to want to die, but I think you can reach at the latter stages of your life that point where you're just completely okay with it.
Yes.
But you know what? We should all be completely okay with it. It's not that we desire to pass on in the next few minutes, but whatever God has in store for us, in the end, we want to go home. That's the point, isn't it? To go home. And you know, it's God's love that's going to take us home. And I'm going to give you at the outset here some scriptures that you can write down and refer to on your own, because I'm not going to be reading all of these this morning, but it would be a good study for you. Now write these down. John 14, verses 1 through 6. Ecclesiastes 3:11. Psalm 16:11. And Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Matthew 25, verse 21 and 34. And these aren't all of the scriptures. These are just a few that you can look at and study, you know, when we talk about home. And you know, God has a word for home. It's heaven. That's God's word for home. And in my mind, one of the most delightful concepts in my human experience is the idea of home. I think I like it a little too much. I tend to want to stay there and never go anywhere. And that's not proper either. That's not right either. But I like the idea of home. The word home, to me, brings, and maybe some, I hope for you too, it brings memories of good times, of rest, security, peace, and being around those we love, and being in a place where I belong. Home. You know, the nation we live in as Americans, and I do know about this, we're a nation of nomads. We really are. On the average, now I didn't bother to check if these statistics are so, but I believe that they might be. I'm told that on the average, in our lifetime, we make 12 moves. And when I was a child, I think we did way more than that. Now, as an adult, not so much, not so much. As an adult, over the 45 years we've been married, we've moved, I think, 4 times. And we lived in one place for 31 years. So you can see, I like home. I like the idea of home. And perhaps you've moved a lot, too. Maybe that's the way your life has been. But what I'd like for you to do with me this morning is just take a deep breath, relax, and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I know closing your eyes is kind of taking a chance, you know, you don't know what the preacher's up to, right? But try to trust me. Just close your eyes. And while your eyes are shut, I want you to visualize the best times you can remember at home. Being home. Your favorite home now. It's not going to be the same for all of us. Just think about home. It might have been when you were a child, a particular moment in your time. Or perhaps in your teen years. Or maybe it's the place where you raised your kids. Maybe it's where you live right now. Home, where loved ones gather, and good times thrive, where there is always love, laughter, peace, and contentment. Now just close your eyes for a few moments, and we won't go to sleep, but we'll take just a few moments and think of home and what it conjures up in your memories. In this exercise now, I think we've gotten a glimpse of heaven. Think about that. A glimpse of what heaven will be like. Regardless of how many times you've moved in your life, one thing is certain. We got one more move to make. All of us. And we need to be ready to make that move. This last move will completely redefine our idea of home. It will be our forever home. You're not going to move again. It will be an expansive, thrilling experience, a good time reunion with our Heavenly Father. Can you imagine being with Jesus, family and friends, saved ones from ages past. Indeed, home, you know, heaven is God's word for home. And heaven is made possible by the amazing love and grace of God. John 14:2, listen to what Jesus says. In my house, we know this, don't we? In my house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then what did he say? I go to prepare a place for you. When he says you, this isn't collective, this is individual. You personally. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, Jesus says. And I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now Jesus is telling us that he loves us. The Son of God loves us, and he's prepared a place for us. It's already done. A place where we'll never part. A utopian existence with Jesus and God Almighty. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, when Jesus comes, we'll be caught up together with the saved ones in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always, always be with the Lord.
Amen.
If you don't want to be with the Lord, you don't want to go to heaven. That's where he's going to be. You know, this is reminiscent of the last verse, if you think about it, the last verse of the 23rd Psalm that we're so familiar with, where he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell,
yes,
where? In the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
Heaven is described by several different terms in the Bible, but I think my favorite is home. I like that, home. A mansion, a room, an abode in the Father's house. Now, the object of this lesson this morning is to explore heaven a little bit together, to see what this home in the Father's house will be like. Let's see what we can learn together now, just for a few moments, and I'll try not to be too long. First, we must know, we must realize that heaven is real. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting to me, and like I said, I don't want to get negative, but you can't mention heaven without mentioning hell. You know, a lot of people, most people believe in heaven, but far, far fewer people believe that there's a hell. But let me state this, they're both real.
Yeah.
They're both real. But I want to talk about heaven. The scripture teaches us that God has placed within the human heart a God-shaped vacuum. And that vacuum causes mankind to search for him. God put that into men. It was Paul, when he was in Athens, who said, this is Acts 17:28, that God placed within us a mechanism that causes us to seek him and to find him, even though he's really not far from us. For it is in him.
Yeah.
What? We live and move and have our being. God made us that way. God has also placed within us a heaven-shaped vacuum, a sense that we were created for something greater than this life. People don't know what that is, a lot of people. They know, you know, I'm talking about in the world, people who don't have God. They recognize, and some of them have a lot of money. Some of them have more money than you can imagine, and yet they still have that vacuum inside of them, that need, that desire, that emptiness, and they don't know how to fill it. They don't even know what it is, and what it is, it's a sense of fulfilling a need that is greater than this life. You know, reaching the point where you realize if this is all there is, there ain't nothing.
Amen.
I know that's not right English. There ain't nothing, right? If this is it, it can't be it. God created within us something that tells us there's something greater for us that needs to be filling that void in our hearts.
Amen.
Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 2 through 8, he says, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. God made us that way. For while we are in this tent, this body, while we're in it, we groan in our burdens. We desire to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life.
Amen.
Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose.
Amen.
God has given us the Spirit. He's given us the Spirit as a deposit. Have you ever thought about that?
Well,
it's a deposit on the guarantee to come.
Amen.
A Spirit of God. We are confident and would prefer, he says, to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. I talked already a little bit about that. It's not that we want to die, but we recognize that as Christians, when we do die, it's going to be wonderful. We desire what comes after this. God, just as God placed a groaning in our stomachs for food, and that one works good for me, by the way. That groaning for food, it's all in order. But he's also placed in our hearts a groaning for heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 3:11. In our modern speech, now, versions, it says this. Solomon saying that God has placed eternity in the heart of all mankind. God has placed a desire for home, for heaven. A desire to live forever. Men have that, don't they?
Amen.
How long have men been looking for the fountain of youth?
Amen.
Did you know that's what God offers us? The fountain of youth. Not that our bodies won't get any older, but I'll tell you something. Your soul doesn't get older. You thought about that? Your soul doesn't age. It's going to last for eternity. You know, it was Job that posed this rhetorical question. Job said, if a man die, will he live again? Now, when I say rhetorical, we know the answer. No, the answer is obviously yes. Daniel 12:2 reads, those asleep in the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting punishment. I've got to mention that. I don't mean to be negative, but we're going to live forever somewhere. Where's your home going to be?
Amen.
You don't have a lot of choices. You can be an eternity with God, or you can be lost forever.
Amen.
Listen to what David said in Psalm 16, 6 through 11. He says, I have a delightful inheritance. My heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. My body will rest secure. Why? Because you will not abandon me to the grave.
Amen.
Nor will you let your Holy One decay.
Yes.
You have made known to me the path of life.
Yes.
You will fill me with joy in your presence. I will enjoy eternal pleasures at your right hand.
Yes.
This is David speaking, but boy, we could say the same thing, could we not?
Yes.
Peter believed in heaven. 1 Peter 5:4, he says, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved for us in heaven. Paul speaks of heaven, heaven's reality in 2 Corinthians 5:1. He says, for we know that if this earthly dwelling, this earthly house, this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God. A house, a home, not made with hands.
Amen.
Eternal in the heavens.
Amen.
Church, there's no doubt that the Scripture teaches that heaven is real.
Amen.
Secondly, heaven is a home filled with joyous pleasures. David wrote, same Psalm 16, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, the eternal pleasures at your right hand. Matthew 25, verses 21 and verse 34. Jesus said, well done. We're familiar with this, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with the few things. And I want you to notice what he says here, because we're going to talk about this just a minute a little bit. I have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things, he said. Come and share your master's joy and happiness. You know, I think perhaps our heavenly home is best defined or described by what is not going to be there. He'll wipe away every tear.
Yes, sir.
Revelation 21, yes, verses 4 through 5. Yes. He'll wipe away every tear from the eyes. There'll be no pain.
Yes.
There'll be no death or mourning or crying. The old order of things, the way things are here, no longer apply. They're passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. I like the sounds of that.
Amen.
I just have to tell you, I do. For these words are trustworthy and true. Here, the voice from heaven is saying God will wipe all the tears from our eyes.
Yes, Lord.
I believe he's saying that in our new home, God will cause us to forget every bad and sad thing that we've ever experienced in our lives.
Amen.
I don't know, I'm going to confess, I don't know how all this is going to work. I don't know if we're going to forget it, or God is just going to create something in us to where that it doesn't matter.
Amen.
I don't know, but I do know that there will be no negativity whatsoever. It's all going to be good. There'll be nothing to spoil our happiness.
Amen.
Then the voice says, this home will be a place where there'll be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more death, no more pain. Heaven is a state of endless joy and happiness. These are the words that we have. These are the pictures that are painted. But I'm gonna tell you, this is a spiritual thing, and our minds don't grasp it very well.
No.
But I'm sure, I believe honestly, it's going to be better than this.
Yeah.
These words can't say it. They just can't.
Amen.
Okay, third point. Heaven will be a forever reunion. I want to touch on something here. I might get into a little bit of opinion, and you can differ with me if you wish to. But there's a frequently asked question concerning our future home about, will we know each other in heaven? Perhaps you've thought about that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to confess right up front, I don't know the answer for sure.
Amen.
Because there's no verse that I can read that directly says that we will. But there's some indications in the scripture that lead us to think perhaps that's the case. Perhaps we will know one another. Now first, let's think about Jesus. After his resurrection, Jesus' disciples knew who he was. Now follow me through this. They recognized him. And it's interesting to note that they were so sure that he was Jesus, that most of them, just about all of them, went to a martyr's death.
Right.
Believed in Jesus and defending the reality of his resurrection to the death. And 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2 reads, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God.
Amen.
And that is what we are. Dear friends, now that we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but he says, this we do know. Now listen to this. But we know when he appears, We shall be like him. Now, if Jesus is still his former self, which he is, if he is known and he is recognizable and will be recognizable by all of us, perhaps we'll be recognizable too. Let's look at another point. Remember when Moses and Elijah appeared out of heaven to stand with Jesus at his transfiguration. You remember that? There was Peter, James, and John, and they recognized Moses and Elijah. Now, I don't know how it worked. I don't know how they recognized them when they hadn't seen them before, but they knew who they were. And, you know, we just know that they did because it says so. But now thirdly, in Matthew 8, Jesus was describing heaven, and he speaks of it being a real place with real identifiable people. Look at this. Verse 11 has him saying, many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom heaven. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in heaven seem to be that he's saying they're recognizable personalities. And I believe these scriptures indicate that heaven will be a grand reunion with the saved of all ages. Now, I think there's possibly two things that might surprise us when we do reach heaven. One of the things is who's there might surprise us. And the other thing is who's not there might surprise us. See, we think we know sometimes, right? Yeah. We think we know who's righteous and who pleases God and who doesn't. We might be in for surprise. My fourth point. Heaven will be, now this is one maybe you haven't thought about. Maybe you don't want to, I don't know. But heaven will be a place of work. You ever thought about that? That's what I was talking about earlier. In Matthew 25:21, let's go back there. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's inheritance and happiness. In Revelation 7:15 and 22 and 3, we read, and it's speaking of the saved. It says, they are before the throne of God. And what does it say? They serve him. Day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. There will be no curse, but the throne of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, it says. Now these verses tell us that, you know, heaven is not what people picture it to be, laying around on a cloud playing a harp with nothing to do. That's not what heaven is going to be. It's not that kind of a fairyland where we grow tired and bored, right? And some people think, well, they're having more fun in hell, right? No, they're not. They're not, okay? They're not. Heaven is not that. Heaven is a place where we will have something to do. But keep in mind that something is going to be rejoicing and praising God. Amen. If we don't enjoy doing that, then heaven may not be the place for us. And finally this morning, and I want you to get this, if you don't get anything else, heaven is attainable. You know, it's not easy. You know, we're not going to get there without some effort. But Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's not preparing us a place if we can't get there. It's possible for us. Peter says, we can make our calling and election sure. He says, we can do that. The book of Revelation was written to tell us heaven is for those who keep on keeping on.
Amen.
For we know our labor is not in vain, it says. We have to keep on. Be persistent. Never give up. Those who walk in the light as he is in the light. That's what heaven is for. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Amen. Those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And we began this lesson this morning saying that heaven is God's word for home. And I think that it is. And We have been saying that, you know, or we have said that in our culture, there's a saying, it's kind of a trite saying, I guess, but home is where the heart is. You've heard that, right?
Yes.
But there's some truth in that, isn't there?
Yeah.
You see, in order to live in heaven, now I want you to get this too. This is important. Some people misrepresent, right? In order to get to heaven, we must pay the ultimate price. Did you know that? So I thought heaven was free. It's free and that you can't buy it, right? There's no amount of money that you could offer for it. It can only be ours if we're given. But in order for it to be given to us, we must give our entire life to Christ.
Amen.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
We must give our entire life to Christ, and then He will give us the reward. So the question becomes... The question is, where is your heart? Where is my heart? Jesus goes on to say in John 14, if anyone loves me, what does he say? He'll keep my commandments. He'll keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. So the question I want to leave you with, are we ready to make Jesus our way, our truth, in our life? You know how we do that? Faith. That's where we start. You know, we start with faith, but the truth is we end with faith too.
Amen.
Faith is the whole ball of wax. With faith that leads us to want to make some changes in our life. That's what faith does. When we realize what Jesus would have us to do, we come to a quick understanding that that's not what we've been doing. And then we want to change. We want to repent. We want to be what God wants us to be. And when we reach that stage, our desire is to confess the name of Jesus from the mountaintops, to tell people who He is and what He has done for us. That's confession. Live a life of confession. When we reach that point, we want to be in the kingdom. We want to be baptized and have our sins washed away and be raised to walk a new life. So have we done this? A lot of us have done this. A lot of us are living the new life that He has set before us. And if we are, then we can be assured that God's love will take us home.
Amen.
I want to go home. Don't you? And I do want to go home and eat later on, but that's not what I'm talking about. I want to go home where I'll never want to go home again. If you need to correct something in your life, this morning is the time to do it as we stand and sing the announce song together.